Well, Stephen said a few minutes ago, this is your first time visiting with us tonight. We're so glad you're here. If you've been coming for a while or you call this your church home, you know that we've been in the middle of a series called The Weary World Rejoices, where we're talking about what it looks like leading up to Christmas. And at first glance, that title seems a little bit disappointing or discouraging, but it comes from a line from a famous Christmas carol. Anyone know it? Come on now. O Holy Night, that's right. So you're going to be thinking about that the rest of the night. O Holy Night, that's where it comes from. But we picked it because we feel like it just aptly describes what our world is like. It's just weary. We just lead weary and busy and tired lives oftentimes. And maybe there's no better place to see this than on a little thing called Twitter. How many people actually are on Twitter? Raise your hand. Oh my goodness. Hardly anybody. Okay, how many people are on Facebook? Oh, look at that. So Twitter's kind of like Facebook. You just, your updates, you know, when you update. But if you look back over the last year, some of the best tweets, I think, in the world show us how weary we are. And I thought I'd show you a few of those now. Some of us are weary with work. So look at this one. I'm beginning to think the wireless mouse was invented just so there was one less thing to hang yourself with at work. Some of us are weary with relationships. Look at this one. I hate those unrealistic movies where women are friends. Or how about this one? I hate when old people poke me at weddings, point and whisper, "You're next." So I started doing the same thing to them at funerals. Some of us are weary with the economy and what's going on there. Look at this. With American Airlines stock at 20 cents, I can't decide between paying for two check bags or buying half the company. Or how about this one? Do you think China can declare the U.S. as a dependent on its taxes? Or here's a good one. Michelle Duggar had 20 kids and she gets a TV show. My homegirl Keisha had 6 kids and all she got was food stamps. It's rough. Well, that was rough, yeah. Some of us, I think, are weary with what we see on TV, right? What you see on TV or you hear on the news all the time. Look at these. Apparently Kim Kardashian realized she was married to someone who would marry Kim Kardashian. Ouch. Look at this one. I don't want to sound like I'm showing off or anything, but this is the 5th rapture I've survived. We know that one came around a bunch in the last year. How about this one? CNN, Apple visionary Steve Jobs dies. Fox News, America loses jobs under Obama. Ouch, yeah. Interesting news. How about this one? The only thing worse than Netflix separating DVD by mail from video streaming is every other problem in the world. Remember when that was a big deal? Some of us are also just, I think, weary with ourselves and weary with our lives. A few more. To find out who views your Facebook profile the most, look in the mirror. Bit convicting. Or how about this one? My greatest fear is sitting in front of thousands of people while my Google search history is being read aloud. Y'all aren't laughing as much at these. Last one. Finally getting the hang of this wake up every morning and do basically the same thing with different complaints until you die thing. Now, here's the deal. I'm guessing all of us can identify with some of those updates, with some of those tweets. And I'm guessing if we're brutally honest tonight, we could probably share some even deeper fears, some deeper disappointments, some deeper stresses, some deeper stuff going on in our lives. And here's the cold, hard truth. This is kind of the bad news portion of tonight. Life isn't going to get easier. Like, life is always going to be tough. There's always going to be bad news. The economy's always going to, you know, it might go up for a while, but then it's going to come down. Job's always going to be tough. Raising kids is always going to be tough. Managing relationships is always going to be hard. There's always going to be health stuff to deal with. As we get older, stuff breaks down. Like, life just is hard. And we get weary. And yet, in the midst of tough seasons, in the midst of difficult things that come to us in life, I think there's something that we all know we can find in the middle of that, and that we all desire and that we all want. That even when things are going really difficult and tough in our lives, there's a sense that we can still find peace in the midst of that. Peace, knowing everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to work out. And maybe that's why there's something so compelling about the Christmas scene, about a family, you know, surrounded by some straggly old shepherds, huddled in the dark and in the cold around a feeding trough, you know, packed with a bunch of hay and a little baby boy asleep in it. There's just something about that scene that says, well, everything else is so weary and tough, there's just peace right in the middle of it. There's something about that silent night that says to all of us, when we look at it, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. So, with that in mind, would you guys join us as we sing that famous Christmas hymn, Silent Night? I want to tell you a quick story tonight, and what makes this story interesting is that it's found in three different books of the Bible in the Old Testament. And it's not only found in the Bible, there's actually been inscriptions that have been found by archaeologists that also tell the details of this story. So if you're one of those people who has big questions about the Bible, or maybe still wonders or has some doubts about whether it's true or not, this is one of those stories that, like, we know for certain it really did happen. It's true because there's these inscriptions that talk about it. As well, it's a story of a guy named Ahaz, and he was in his about late 20s, early 30s, and he was king of the nation of Judah. Now, I want to put a map up here real quickly and just tell you a little bit about the world at that time. You'll see Judah up there in the middle, and Judah, at this time, there used to be a united kingdom of Israel, and then Israel had a civil war, and the northern people broke off, and they were Israel. And the southerners broke off, and they were Judah. And so Ahaz was king over Judah, and he was surrounded by these little nations. We didn't put the boundaries up there, but he was surrounded on the south by a small nation called Edom. They were surrounded on the west by a nation called Philistia. Philistines, you might have heard of them. Surrounded to the north by Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel. And then just above that, the kingdom of Aram. And then all around them, as you can see, was the Assyrian Empire. They were the dominant empire in the world at that time. Now, this could be kind of boring unless you're into historical geography, but what makes it important is because one season in Ahaz's and Judah's life, the Edomites attacked from the south. And this was typical. They were always at battle with each other and always trying to take each other's land and grow their nations. The Edomites attacked from the south, and then the Philistines attacked from the west. And then word came to Ahaz that the king of Israel and the king of Aram had made an alliance, and their armies had come together and were beginning to march towards Jerusalem. So in the midst of all this, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 2, tells us this. The hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. You see, they were weary, not just because there were these battles about to happen, but they were surrounded on all sides, and they were beginning to wonder, is this the last battle like we're going to fight? Is this the it? Is this the end for the nation of Judah? And so God sent a prophet to King Ahaz, this guy named Isaiah. And Isaiah came and he brought a message from God. That's what prophets did. They were just God's spokespeople. God gave a prophet a message and said, go tell Isaiah. Or go tell Ahaz. So Isaiah came to Ahaz, and this is what he said in verse 4. Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. He's talking about the king of Israel and the king of Aram. He said, they have plotted your ruin, yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. In fact, within 65 years, Israel will be too shattered to even be a people. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. In other words, Ahaz, these enemies are nothing. Like, you don't need to worry about this. I know it looks really bad. I know it looks like your world is crumbling around you. But you just need to trust in God. In fact, Israel, this one, you know, your old enemies, you know, they're right above you. You think they're a big deal. But in just a few years, I can peer into the future and I can see that they're not even going to be around in the future. You don't even have to worry about them. Just put your faith in God. And then he says, you know, put your faith in God. And if you don't, then you're not going to stand. And this verse, this verse 9, is one of the coolest verses in the Bible. And let's just look at it specifically. It says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And literally, in Hebrew, that's what this was originally written in. It says, if you do not, and then the verb is, amen. It's the Hebrew word, amen. If you do not, amen. And in Hebrew, that means put your trust in something. Put your confidence in something. Believe in something. Confirm something. It's where we get the word, amen. So when somebody says something you believe in, you say, you know, amen. You're basically saying, yeah, I believe you. I'm with you. I confirm. I agree with what you're saying. And so God says, look, if you don't amen what I'm saying, like if you don't put your trust in God and just believe in Him and lean into Him, if you don't amen that, well, then you won't be amened. Now, in one of the other versions of this story, in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, it tells us that at this moment, King Ahaz was wavering. He thought, well, I can put my trust in God, or I can put my trust in the Assyrians. You see, I can take a bunch of gold, and I can take a bunch of money, and I can take some tribute and some really nice worded letters, and I can send them up to the king of Assyria and tell him, I'm your loyal servant. I'm there to serve you. I'm one of your subjects. And by the way, there's these armies attacking me right now. And if you would maybe send some of your armies down to help defend me against all these other countries, that would really be nice. And I'll serve you forever, oh, you know, king of Assyria. Ahaz was wavering. Should he trust God or should he send for help to the Assyrians? And what's interesting is that God knew that Ahaz was wavering. And so look at what God said to him in verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Now that's kind of cool, because he basically says to Ahaz, look, I know you're wavering, I know you're not sure if you can trust me, so tell you what I'm going to do. You ask me for a sign, like any sign, you can choose the sign. You think of any miracle, anything you want me to do. You want me to kind of just like lift that couch up in the air. I'll do whatever. You know, you just name the sign and I'll do it so that you know you can trust in me. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? I mean, what if God came to us and said that? Like, what if in your life when you were not, you know, you were wondering, is God really there? Like, does he really hear my prayers? Does he really care? Like, does he really see all this stuff going on in my life right now? Because if he did, it seems like he would do something. So it doesn't seem like he would, you know, he does, and I'm not sure if I even believe in it. Like, what if in those moments, like, you just heard a voice, and the voice said, hey, you just asked for a sign. You just name the sign, you ask for the sign, I'll do it, I'll show you, and you'll know for certain that you can trust in me. That's what he says to Ahaz. And you know what Ahaz said? He said, no. I'm not going to ask for a sign. And we might be tempted to think, well, Ahaz was just, you know, he had such a pure faith. He didn't need a sign from God. You know, he just believed that he didn't even need to see. Not at all. You see, Ahaz decided he wasn't going to trust in God. He decided he was just going to trust in his own, you know, common sense, his own plans. And he was going to trust in the Assyrians. And so he sent help to the Assyrians. And then God did something even more amazing. He says, you know what, Ahaz? I told you could ask for a sign. I gave you the opportunity and you didn't want it. But you know what? I'm going to give you a sign anyways. And look at what Isaiah says in verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and we'll call him Emmanuel. At this point, Ahaz is going, like, that's the sign? Like, that's your big, like, that's the big thing that's going to save me and save us from all these armies that are surrounding us right now? Like, there's a young woman, and she's going to get pregnant, and in 9 months she's going to have a child, and, like, that's it? Like, that's your big sign that's going to save me? And it's almost like God is saying, no. You see, Ahaz, the sign isn't for you anymore. And it's not just for Judah, and it's not just for the Hebrew people. This is a sign for all people and all generations to know, I'm a trustworthy God. I'm a gracious God. I'm someone you can count on. I'm someone who keeps my promises. But Ahaz would have none of it. So he sent help from the Assyrians. And just like Isaiah had warned him at other times, the Assyrians came and they were way more trouble than help. They wiped out the nation of Israel so that it was no more. And then they threatened the people of Judah for the rest of their lives. And Ahaz turned his back on God and he did evil things and he, you know, led the nation away from God and he wouldn't trust in God and the nation just went downhill from that point on. And yet people ask, like, what about that sign? Like, what about that thing that Isaiah had talked about? What about that child that was supposed to be born? You know, was it Isaiah's son? Because Isaiah actually had a son about this time, and his wife had a child. Maybe that was the sign. And yet, some of the prophecies, some of the other things that Isaiah said about the son is that he would be a royal son. He would be one who would, the government would be on his shoulders. He would be a king, and he would establish justice and peace and righteousness with no end. And so as things got worse and worse, they wondered what happened to this sign. Maybe it was Ahaz's son. Because Ahaz had a son and his name was Hezekiah. And he became king over Judah after Ahaz. And he actually turned the nation back to trusting in God. Maybe he was the promised one. But then Hezekiah died. And his son became king and led them down the wrong road again. And then the Babylonians swept in. And they destroyed Jerusalem, and they destroyed the nation, and they sent the people into exile. And year after year went by, and decade after decade went by, and century after century went by where people wondered, what happened to the sign? Like, can we trust God when everything around us is falling down, when everything around us is weary? The one question they continue to ask is, does God really keep His promises? Can we put our faith, can we put our amen in God? It's the same question we need to ask tonight. Can we trust God when our lives are weary, broken down, difficult? Can we put our faith, can we put our trust, can we put our amen into God? I want to tell you a quick story tonight, and what makes this story interesting is that it's found in three different books of the Bible in the Old Testament. And it's not only found in the Bible, there's actually been inscriptions that have been found by archaeologists that also tell the details of this story. So if you're one of those people who has big questions about the Bible, or maybe still wonders or has some doubts about whether it's true or not, this is one of those stories that, like, we know for certain it really did happen. It's true because there's these inscriptions that talk about it. As well, it's a story of a guy named Ahaz, and he was in his about late 20s, early 30s, and he was king of the nation of Judah. Now, I want to put a map up here real quickly and just tell you a little bit about the world at that time. You'll see Judah up there in the middle, and Judah, at this time, there used to be a united kingdom of Israel, and then Israel had a civil war, and the northern people broke off, and they were Israel. And the southerners broke off and they were Judah. And so Ahaz was king over Judah. And he was surrounded by these little nations. We didn't put the boundaries up there. But he was surrounded on the south by a small nation called Edom. They were surrounded on the west by a nation called Philistia. Philistines, might have heard of them. Surrounded to the north by Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel. And then just above that, the kingdom of Aram. And then all around them, as you can see, was the Assyrian Empire. They were the dominant empire in the world at that time. Now, this could be kind of boring unless you're into historical geography, but what makes it important is because one season in Ahaz's and Judah's life, the Edomites attacked from the south. And this was typical. They were always at battle with each other and always trying to take each other's land and grow their nations. The Edomites attacked from the south, and then the Philistines attacked from the west. And then word came to Ahaz that the king of Israel and the king of Aram had made an alliance, and their armies had come together and were beginning to march towards Jerusalem. So in the midst of all this, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 2, tells us this. The hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. You see, they were weary, not just because there were these battles about to happen, but they were surrounded on all sides, and they were beginning to wonder, is this the last battle like we're going to fight? Is this the it? Is this the end for the nation of Judah? And so God sent a prophet to King Ahaz, this guy named Isaiah. And Isaiah came and he brought a message from God. That's what prophets did. They were just God's spokespeople. God gave a prophet a message and said, go tell Isaiah. Or go tell Ahaz. So Isaiah came to Ahaz, and this is what he said in verse 4. Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. He's talking about the king of Israel and the king of Aram. He said, they have plotted your ruin, yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. In fact, within 65 years, Israel will be too shattered to even be a people. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. In other words, Ahaz, these enemies are nothing. Like you don't need to worry about this. I know it looks really bad. I know it looks like your world is crumbling around you. But you just need to trust in God. In fact, Israel, this one, you know, your old enemies, you know, they're right above you. You think they're a big deal. But in just a few years, I can peer into the future and I can see that they're not even going to be around in the future. You don't even have to worry about them. Just put your faith in God. And then he says, you know, put your faith in God. And if you don't, then you're not going to stand. And this verse, this verse 9, is one of the coolest verses in the Bible. And let's just look at it specifically. It says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And literally, in Hebrew, that's what this was originally written in. It says, if you do not, and then the verb is, amen. It's the Hebrew word, amen. If you do not, amen. And in Hebrew, that means put your trust in something. Put your confidence in something. Believe in something. Confirm something. It's where we get the word, amen. So when somebody says something you believe in, you say, you know, amen. You're basically saying, yeah, I believe you. I'm with you. I confirm. I agree with what you're saying. And so God says, look, if you don't, amen, what I'm saying, like, if you don't put your trust in God and just believe in Him and lean into Him, if you don't amen that, well, then you won't be amen. Now, in one of the other versions of this story, in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, it tells us that at this moment, King Ahaz was wavering. He thought, well, I can put my trust in God, or I can put my trust in the Assyrians. You see, I can take a bunch of gold, and I can take a bunch of money, and I can take some tribute and some really nice worded letters, and I can send them up to the king of Assyria and tell him, I'm your loyal servant. I'm there to serve you. I'm one of your subjects. And by the way, there's these armies attacking me right now, and if you would maybe send some of your armies down to help defend me against all these other countries, that would really be nice. And I'll serve you forever, king of Assyria. Ahaz was wavering. Should he trust God? Or should he send for help to the Assyrians? And what's interesting is that God knew that Ahaz was wavering. And so look at what God said to him in verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Now that's kind of cool, because he basically says to Ahaz, look, I know you're wavering. I know you're not sure if you can trust me. So tell you what I'm going to do. you ask me for a sign. Like any sign. You can choose the sign. You think of any miracle, anything you want me to do. You want me to kind of just like lift that couch up in the air. I'll do whatever. You know, you just name the sign and I'll do it so that you know you can trust in me. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? I mean, what if God came to us and said that? Like, what if in your life when you were you were wondering, is God really there? Like, does he really hear my prayers? Does he really care? Like, does he really see all this stuff going on in my life right now? Because if he did, it seems like he would do something. So it doesn't seem like he would, he does, and I'm not sure if I even believe in it. Like, what if in those moments, like, you just heard a voice, and the voice said, hey, you just asked for a sign. You just name the sign, you ask for the sign, I'll do it, I'll show you, and you'll know for certain that you can trust in me. That's what he says to Ahaz. And you know what Ahaz said? He said, no. I'm not going to ask for a sign. And we might be tempted to think, well, Ahaz was just, he had such a pure faith. He didn't need a sign from God. You know, he just believed that he didn't even need to see. Not at all. You see, Ahaz decided he wasn't going to trust in God. He decided he was just going to trust in his own, common sense, his own plans. And he was going to trust in the Assyrians. And so he sent help to the Assyrians. And then God did something even more amazing. He says, you know what, Ahaz? I told you you could ask for a sign. I gave you the opportunity and you didn't want it. But you know what? I'm going to give you a sign anyways. And look at what Isaiah says in verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. At this point, Ahaz is going, like, that's the sign? Like, that's your big, like, that's the big thing that's going to save me and save us from all these armies that are surrounding us right now? Like, there's a young woman and she's going to get pregnant and in 9 months she's going to have a child and, like, that's it? Like, that's your big sign? That's going to save me? And it's almost like God is saying, no. You see, Ahaz, the sign isn't for you anymore. And it's not just for Judah, and it's not just for the Hebrew people. This is a sign for all people and all generations to know, I'm a trustworthy God. I'm a gracious God. I'm someone you can count on. I'm someone who keeps my promises. But Ahaz would have none of it. So he sent help from the Assyrians. And just like Isaiah had warned him at other times, the Assyrians came and they were way more trouble than help. They wiped out the nation of Israel so that it was no more. And then they threatened the people of Judah for the rest of their lives. And Ahaz turned his back on God and he did evil things and he led the nation away from God and he wouldn't trust in God and the nation just went downhill from that point on. And yet people ask, like, what about that sign? Like, what about that thing that Isaiah had talked about? What about that child that was supposed to be born? You know, was it Isaiah's son? Because Isaiah actually had a son about this time, and his wife had a child. Maybe that was the sign. And yet some of the prophecies, some of the other things that Isaiah said about the son is that he would be a royal son. He would be one who would... the government would be on his shoulders. He would be a king and he would establish justice and peace and righteousness with no end. And so as things got worse and worse, they wondered what happened to this sign. Maybe it was Ahaz's son. Because Ahaz had a son and his name was Hezekiah. And he became king over Judah after Ahaz. And he actually turned the nation back to trusting in God. Maybe he was the promised one. But then Hezekiah died, and his son became king and led them down the wrong road again. And then the Babylonians swept in, and they destroyed Jerusalem, and they destroyed the nation, and they sent the people into exile. And year after year went by, and decade after decade went by, and century after century went by where people wondered, what happened to the sign? Like, can we trust God, when everything around us is falling down, when everything around us is weary, the one question they continue to ask is, does God really keep His promises? Can we put our faith, can we put our amen in God? It's the same question we need to ask tonight. Can we trust God when our lives are weary, broken down, difficult? Can we put our faith, can we put our trust, can we put our amen into God? Book of Matthew, chapter 1, starting in verse 18, says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which in Hebrew means the Lord saves. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. You can almost picture years later, as Matthew is writing this story down so that we could read it, it strikes him at this moment, and he writes next, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. 700 years before, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, do you realize how significant this is? That 700 years before, at a time when Ahaz had turned his back on God, when the people of Judah had turned their backs on God, when people didn't trust him or didn't even care anymore enough to even ask for a sign, when God said, you can ask for a sign. At that point, God said, you know what? I'm going to give you a sign anyways. And I'll be the one who chooses the sign. And it's not for you, Ahaz, because when this sign is fulfilled, you'll be long gone. And it's not for you, the next generation, because you'll be long gone too. And it's not even for the nation of Judah, because they will be long gone. This is for people in every single generation. And it's going to be a sign so that you can know that I can be trusted. So that you can know that even when you're not turning towards me, I'm turning towards you. So that you can know that even when you haven't asked for it, I'm there to offer forgiveness. So that you can know that I want to pursue a relationship with you even when you're running in the other direction. And you know what the sign is? The sign is me. I'm coming to be with you. And so I'm going to come and I'm going to be a little child to live with you. And then I'll grow up to be a man who will die on a cross for you. That's the sign, so that you will always be able to know you can trust me. Emmanuel, God with us. So I just want to ask one question. If that is true, and if that is what the Christmas story is all about, what does it look like in our lives when we're tired, when we're weary, when things aren't going our way, when things are tough? What does it look like if we knew for certain, if we were confident that God was with us? I mean, what does it look like for the guy who's just lost his job or can't find a job if he knows God is with him? What does it look like for the couple who's going through a tough marriage if they knew God was with them? What does it look like for someone who's facing an illness, a disease, cancer, if they know God is with them? What does it look like for someone who's lonely if they know at the end of the day, God is with them? You see, it doesn't make all our problems go away and it doesn't make our lives easier, but it does, in the midst of all of it, know, it helps us to know there is peace when we know God is with us. And that's why Isaiah said, one will come who is going to be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Emmanuel, God with us. Let me pray. Father God, as we celebrate your birth this season, would it remind us and would it put a truth deep into all of our hearts who are gathered here tonight that you really are with us and that you loved us enough to come and live among us. And then your Son offered his life for us. And then he rose from the grave to give us hope so that we would know we can face any situation that this world throws at us with hope and with peace. And so tonight and during this season, we celebrate that. We think about the darkness that's often in our lives or often in our world. And we remember the light that you brought. We pray all this in your name. Amen.